All right, thank you so much, Ken Gibson, Ken and Rebecca, always here with all of us. And good morning, everybody. It's a Sunday morning, and we're all joined here in the peace of God for sure. That is certainty. And yes, this morning's topic is trusting simplicity, and that comes a little bit later in our program. Right now, I just want to thank and welcome everyone that is here in the room, maybe listening on the radio, and I'm going to maybe turn this mic over to Lynn for some music as we use this as an opportunity to meet and greet everybody, to send our light, our love, and our blessings of peace. So right now, turning this mic over to you, Lynn. Thank you so much.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Thank you so much for that beautiful music, Lynn. And welcome to all from all those wonderful places around the U.S. and maybe beyond. And I see it's a bit cold in most of the country. We're expecting a blizzard here on Tuesday. Amazing. Seems to always do that in March. Okay, and Cheryl Kaplan says, morning all from Cleveland. All right, as we usually do on a Sunday morning, we take a look at the purpose of awakening together. I just put it up on the board. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose. Now, that is where all the strength is, common purpose. Awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And of the five core values, the one that I took a look at this morning And I said, well, this seems to be perfect for today's topic. Let's see, is this one, I'm going to post it up here on the board. Number two of the five core values, we realize that everyone is equal and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. How simple is salvation? How simple is salvation? Yeah. I think it's that particular time, unless I'm missing something, tell me if I am. We do the announcements. And for the announcements, I'm going to put on my glasses and take a look at what announcements we have for today. If you're interested in Awakening Together's Minister Preparation Program, MPP, it's time to register for the Introduction to MPP. And Introduction to MPP is the first class in the Minister Preparation Curriculum, and it needs to be taken before a member applies for MPP. The purpose of this class is to teach those who feel that they may be interested in becoming an Awakening Together minister about Awakening Together, the ministerial preparation program, and the responsibilities of an Awakening Together minister. If after completing this 2-hour course, a member feels that he or she wants to become an Awakening Together minister, that member may apply to join the minister preparation program. There is one intro to MPP class still available. That is on Thursday, March 23rd at 8:30 Eastern Time, which is 5:30 Pacific. If you're interested, go to awakening-together.org and look under the classes menu for Minister Preparation Program starts March. The next announcement, Regina will be one of the speakers at the Weekend of Freedom Retreat, which is sponsored by One Mind Foundation and will be held in North Carolina in October. Other speakers include John Mundy, John Mark Stroud, Jennifer Hadley, Maureen Muldoon, and Laurie Coburn. Donna Marie Carey will also be there with musical inspiration. Regina will also be a speaker at the Awakening Together Fall Retreat in Colorado Springs later that same month. With two retreats to choose from in October, there is a retreat to suit everyone. To see which retreat suits you best, go to awakening-together.org and click the events menu. Our next announcement, our monthly Awakening Together satsang is next Sunday, March 19th. This month's guest is Paul Ekman. Paul Ekman is a favorite of many from the AA community because he has been active with the recovery community since 1988. Paul has exceptional clarity and a rather unconventional presentation style. We'll have to ask him to watch his language, but we aren't going to ask him to doctor his style because it's so perfectly marvelous just as it is. Plan to be here next Sunday night at 7:30 Eastern Time, 7:30 Eastern Time, it's probably 4:30 Pacific, when Jacqueline Eckert right here, interviews Paul for our monthly satsang. Join us tonight in the sanctuary for our second edition of Maria Filippi's 4-week mini-series, Live Your Happy, Get Out of Your Own Way and Find the Love Within. And that's tonight at, the mini-series begins at 9 o'clock, 6 o'clock Pacific. Remember to support the mini-series with your donations to donate, go to awakening-together.org and click donate. Support the current mini-series. And the name of her four-week mini-series again, Live Your Happy. Wow, what a great name. Live Your Happy. Get out of your own way and find the love within. I think she has a book coming out by that title, too. Very happy. We have so many people in our community that has books coming out. Truly, it's amazing. Okay. What seems to be next is to call upon my reader, Reverend Helen Avery, who I had the pleasure of speaking to last night. For those who probably are not aware, Jay McCormick, who was scheduled usually for the second Sunday of the month, which is today, called me on Friday night and said, you know, that his schedule is so filled. He's teaching so many different courses at Awakening Together. He asked me to, if I would stand in on this Sunday morning as minister. And of course, somehow I kind of welcomed it, and I said, I'd be happy to. And he said, my reader is Reverend Helen Avery. And so I found something for her to read. Actually, the first thing I asked her to read was my birthday lesson, lesson 132. I lose the world from all that I thought it was. And that's the lesson, the only lesson in the course that says, there is no world. This is the central theme this course teaches. And I said, oh, well, that's great, because that makes today's topic so easy. Today's topic being trusting simplicity. And of course, if you're trusting in the world, it's not too simple, is it? And then all of a sudden, I was guided to the Happy Learner, and I was so happy to call Reverend Helen up and say, would you mind changing over to the Happy Learner? And she said no, and we had a good talk. So without further ado, I'd like to call upon my reader, Reverend Helen Avery, to take the mic and to read from The Happy Learner, which in the FIP edition is chapter 14, section 2, I believe. Okay, turning this mic over to you, Helen Avery. This mic is all yours.
Thanks, Dove. Good morning, everyone. I'm wearing headphones, so I wonder if someone can just let me know that the mic works if I'm wearing headphones. Good morning, there you go. Thanks. Thank you. I was really excited to read this for Dove, especially the theme about simplicity, because it's something I've been hearing a lot inside that I should move towards, but my ego keeps telling me, no, you should be doing more. So I'm thrilled to hear what he's going to say. So the Happy Learner. The Holy Spirit needs a happy learner in whom his mission can be happily accomplished. You who are steadfastly devoted to misery must first recognize that you are miserable and not happy. The Holy Spirit can teach without this contrast, for you believe that misery is happiness. This has so confused you that you have undertaken to learn to do what you can never do, believing that unless you learn it, you will not be happy. You do not realize that the foundation on which this most peculiar learning goal depends means absolutely nothing. This does make sense to you. Have faith in nothing and you will find the treasure that you sought, yet you will add another burden to your mind already burdened, or you would not have sought another. You will believe that nothing is of value and will value it. A little piece of glass, a speck of dust, a body, or a war are one to you. For if you value one thing made of nothing, you have believed that nothing can be precious, and that you can learn how to make the untrue true. The Holy Spirit, seeing where you are, but knowing you are elsewhere, begins his lesson in simplicity with the fundamental teaching that truth is true. This is the hardest lesson you will ever learn, and in the end, the only one. Simplicity is very difficult for twisted minds. Consider all the distortions you have made of nothing, all the strange forms and feelings and actions and reactions that you have woven out of it. Nothing is so alien to you as the simple truth, and nothing are you less inclined to listen to. The contrast between what is true and what is not is perfectly apparent, yet you do not see it. The simple and the obvious are not apparent to those who would make palaces and royal robes of nothing, believing they are kings with golden crowns because of them. All this the Holy Spirit sees and teaches simply that all this is not true. To these unhappy learners who would teach themselves nothing and delude themselves into believing that it is not nothing, the Holy Spirit says with steadfast quietness, "The truth is true. Nothing else matters, nothing else is real, and everything beside it is not there." Let me make the one distinction for you that you cannot make but need to learn. Your faith in nothing is deceiving you. Offer your faith to me and I will place it gently in the holy place where it belongs. You will find no deception there, but only the simple truth. And you will love it because you will understand it. Like you, the Holy Spirit did not make truth, but like God, he knows it to be true. He brings the light of truth into the darkness and lets it shine on you. And as it shines, your brothers see it, and realizing that this light is not what you have made, they see in you more than you see. They will be happy learners of the lesson which this light brings to them, because it teaches them release from nothing and from all the works of nothing. The heavy chains which seem to bind them unto despair, they do not see as nothing until you bring the light to them, and then they see the chains have disappeared, and so they must have been nothing. And you will see it with them, because you taught them gladness and release, they will become your teachers in release and gladness. When you teach anyone that truth is true, you learn it with him. And so you learn that what seemed hardest was the easiest. Learn to be happy learners. You will never learn how to make nothing everything, but see that this has been your goal and recognize how foolish it has been. Be glad it is undone, for when you look at it in simple honesty, it is undone. We said before, be not content with nothing, for you have believed that nothing could content you. It is not so. If you would be a happy learner, you must give everything that you have learned over to the Holy Spirit to be unlearned for you, and then begin to learn the joyous lessons that come quickly on the firm foundation that truth is true. For what is builded there is true and built on truth. The universe of learning will open up before you in all its gracious simplicity. With truth before you, you will not look back. The happy learner meets the conditions of learning here as he also meets the conditions of knowledge in the kingdom. And back over to you, Dove.
All right, thank you so much, Reverend Allen. Thank you. Wonderful reading. And what I was hearing is, if you really want to be a happy learner, turn everything over to him. It's almost like he'll do the heavy work. You really need to do nothing. Just turn it over to him. And, you know, everything always happens perfectly. And most of you know that I've been saying that for a long time, that we live in this sea of synchronicity within this ocean of love, that everything is given to you, everything. You just be open to it, and we talk about simplicity, and the course is a very simple course, and there seems to be words, and today we're going to take a look at the one ingredient that came to me on Friday afternoon after one of my talks, And I said, oh my goodness, that's the missing ingredient. And the missing ingredient in recognizing the simplicity of salvation is trust. Is trust, which we talk about here all the time, but I never recognized the idea that we're talking about trusting in how simple it is. Funny thing, I woke up this morning and I realized that today's lesson number 71, today is the 71st day of the year. And yeah, trusting in how simple it is. Yes. Today's lesson 71 on the 71st day of the year is only God's plan for salvation will work. Only God's plan for salvation will work. And I'm going to put up over here, if I can, also Ken Wapnick's commentary on that. He says he's helping us understand that not only do we have a plan to save ourselves from pain, but this plan directly opposes God or God's plan. It's helpful to think about this one or the other aspect of our lives, for perceiving the situation as it is will enable us to change our minds and make the correct choice. I took a look at today's lesson 71, and this is the one that starts off. It says, you may not realize that the ego has set up a plan for salvation in opposition to God's plan. Is this plan in which you believe, since it's the opposite of God's, you also believe that to accept God's plan in place of the ego's is to be damned? This sounds preposterous, of course, yet after we have considered just what the ego's plan is, perhaps you will realize that however preposterous it may be, you still do believe in it. And this is the same lesson. I know almost everyone remembers this, and I never really knew exactly where it was, but found out it's in today's lesson 71. It says, remember, let us devote the remainder of this extended practice period to asking God to reveal his plan to us. Ask him very specifically, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say, and to whom? Give him full charge of the rest of the practice period, and let him tell you what needs to be done by you in his plan for your salvation. He will answer in proportion to your willingness, key word here, willingness to hear his voice. Refuse not hear. The very fact that you are doing the exercises proves that you have some willingness to listen. This is enough to establish your claim to God's answer. And this is one of the few lessons where he actually ends by saying, try to remember today's idea some 6 or 7 times an hour. An hour. And for those of you who are joining Regina in her gentle healing program, and you're doing the lessons, know that very rarely does he say, remember this idea that only God's plan for salvation will work. Remember this 6 or 7 times an hour. So that's about at least once every 10 minutes. There could be no better way to spend a half a minute or less than to remember the source of your salvation and to see it where it is. That kind of makes things really simple. I spent a good part of my life with that motto or mantra, I'm going to leave my options open. I'm going to leave my options open. Okay, that is that's certainly an ego statement for sure. Leaving my options open means that if I don't like the way things are, I'm going to get out of here and go elsewhere. You know, I'm out of here. There must be a better place than this. leaving your options open is certainly the ego's mantra. I came across today's topic, trusting simplicity, from a series of events that started, I think it was last week, Lynn Johnson was playing an Adiyoshi audio. I think it's an audio book, basically. It goes on for at least 3 or 4 hours, but it's called Spontaneous Awakening. And he starts off by saying, do you know who you are? Do you really know what you are, really? And of course, you know, the brain freezes because you don't really know who or what you are. And he said, let's get back to the roots. Let's go to the source. You don't really know who you are. You don't really know what you are. And that made a lot of sense. And he says, that's because what you think you are has no idea of what you are. So, in truth, you are nothing. You know, nothing that you think you are is true. Nothing that you think you are is true. And I kind of just, you know, went along with that and said, yeah, that's true. But then he said one other thing that actually changed the way I see things. He says, you know, in this nothing place, things are very simple. There's no one out there to impress, no one to prove, nothing this. You know, it's just nothing. It's very simple. He said, but the mind has a tendency to want to go back to the complex. So the mind that, we're talking about the ego mind, that doesn't like the nothingness, the emptiness, or what Gina has taught many times, that zero point on the pendulum where it's not swinging either way. The ego mind does tend to want to swing back, to do something, to get something, to have something, to plan for something. It needs something. So you're not going to be able to keep that mind at zero for very long. It takes a lot of practice, a lot of willingness, and, you know, it sounds like it's, you know, a full-time job. But it does take, wow. That is our smoke detector. It is a smoke detector. Okay. Suzanne is making something. Let me see if I can close the door. I had to disconnect the smoke detector because it was on both outside this room and inside this room. Okay, reminds me of the guy on BBC television. He was being interviewed, and then his kid comes in from the other room during the interview. And the host said, it's a good thing to keep your children in another room and the door locked when you're in an interview. Okay. So, recently, I've been practicing this idea of recognizing that the mind loves complexity. You know, if you were listening to the Happy Learner, as Reverend Helen was reading it, simplicity is difficult for a twisted mind. Now, the twisted mind is just another word for a mind that loves complexity. You can also see why I almost used my birthday lesson. I loosed this world from all that I thought it was, And in that very famous only time in the course where it actually uses the following phrase, there is no world. This is the central theme this course teaches. Now, when I first came across it many years, recognizing it was my birthday lesson, in those days, you read it, you try to understand it, and it's not really there, you might say, for recognition and saying, oh yeah, that's true. Because after all, I look out there and there is a world. But another way of using the word world is complexity. Yeah, the world is this complex place where it seems like there's a lot going on, and I, in order to survive, must try real hard to understand what's going on so I can make the right choices and the right decisions. Because, if you don't know what's going on, well, you can be taken advantage of, and you never know what's going to happen. So this past week, I've been looking at the idea that you're either looking at the simple truth, and for me, truth is oneness or sameness, where all is one. There's nothing to understand, nothing to figure out, nothing to plan. The law of one is what I give to myself. So what is it that I would want to receive? That's what I would want to give. Giving and receiving are the same. But if I'm trying to understand what's going on in the world, I got to work in what I call tweets. So you're either following the tweets, which are the parts, or you want to focus on the totality, which is the wholeness, the oneness, the sameness. So on Friday morning, I was on with Suzanne de Keyser, as I usually am on Friday mornings, and we spoke about the idea of wanting the tweets or the parts, or wanting the truth, which is the totality. On Friday afternoon, I'm also on, twice on Friday afternoon, I spoke mainly on simplicity. And it was after I got off the mic, I was walking my dog Happy, and it came to me that the secret ingredient in simplicity is trusting simplicity. Because even though only God's plan for salvation will work, and even though only the truth is true and nothing else is true, the mind that loves complexity is not going to really accept that. It doesn't really want to trust that. It rather trusts its own defenses, its own idea of the way things are. As after all, it's spent a long time in building its defenses, and it's very, feeling very comfortable with what it's made. So the secret ingredient in accepting the simplicity of salvation is simply your willingness, the key word again, to trust that simplicity is all that is needed. When I was reading from today's lesson 71 earlier, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say and to whom? So we are turning over our willingness to be directed to wisdom greater than our own. As it says in lesson 135, a healed mind doesn't plan. It it acts upon wisdom that is given to it. In that new Perry came out, which some of you may have already gotten it, a lot of people talk about it. I was given a copy, thanks to Teachers of God, Lisa, Natoli, and Bill Free sent me a copy. There's a line in it, which I never really saw before in the course. It says, prayer is the medium of miracles, and the miracle prayer is what you will me do, I will to do. I will to do. So it's that same will, that one will. It makes it very simple. It's not that my will and God's will is different. It's like what you will me to do, I will to do. And it says this one prayer will take you out of the, you'll leave the desert forever, never to go back again. So we keep speaking about, well, truth. What is truth and why is it so simple? And most of us are very familiar with some of the key phrases in A Course in Miracles. I'm speaking about myself, of course, that you read these things, but you don't really dwell on them for long because somehow those are pretty words. I was reading this thing from Robert Perry's book. It says, in sorting out the false from the true, the miracle proceeds along these lines. Perfect love casts out fear. But if fear exists, then there is not any perfect love. Perfect love casts out all fear. If fear exists, then there is not perfect love. Only perfect love really exists. Only perfect love really exists. Therefore, if there is fear, it produces a state which does not exist. Now, take this one little small section and contemplate it, as Regina has taught us on contemplation. You will recognize that it says the exact same thing as the introduction for A Course in Miracles, which says, this whole course can be summed up in these few lines. That which is real cannot be threatened, and that which is unreal does not exist. Herein lies the peace of God. So even though he tells us right up front in the introduction that the whole course can be summed up in these few lines, that doesn't keep the ego thought system from saying, well, there must be a lot more to it than this. It can't just be this. You know, it's got to be more. So you can see how the mind loves to go from what seems to be simple to complexity, because it imagines that there's more to go. It can't, you know, why would it be 1,300 pages here if there wasn't more for me to read? Of course, no one is saying don't read the 1,300 pages. A lot of people say, well, Dove, you know, I carry that blue book with me as my Bible. Please don't tell me to put it down. No, I'm not telling anyone not to read. I'm not. But I am saying that it's our willingness to accept and trust. You know, I've been talking about trust for a very long time, and I am the first to admit that I never took a look at trust and trusting the simplicity. I must say that I have used the word acceptance a lot, because for me, acceptance is forgiveness. It truly is. Especially when you find that wonderful line in lesson 135, paragraph 18, where he says, what could you not accept if you but knew that everything that seems to happen, all events, all circumstances, all encounters, past, present, and even to come, are gently planned for you by one whose only purpose is your good. Perhaps you didn't understand that he would never cause you pain. It was your own defenses that did that. So while your defenses led you to an ending in death, he just gently led you to eternal life. So it's our willingness to accept the simplicity. And trust is so important here because the ego will constantly be tugging at your mind to pull you away from the simplicity. Because if it's so simple, why would you try and go back to the complex? So if anything, my message for today is, when you come across very simple lines in the Course, I'm thinking of lesson 48, which happens to follow 47 very closely. 47 is, God is the strength in which I trust, which is what we're exactly saying here. You're turning everything over to a strength and a wisdom greater than your own. But then he follows it with the shortest lesson in the Course, lesson number 48. There is nothing to fear. And then he says, this is fact. There is nothing to fear. I also noticed that in lesson 48, he doesn't give you any exercises to do, you know, like 3 or 4 times a day or something like that. It's just a fact. There is nothing to. Now, the complex mind, the mind that loves complexity, can't really accept that as true because it's already fully involved in its defense, in its defensiveness, in its tactics, in its strategy, in its planning, and counts on its thinking, which sometimes we call stinking thinking thought system that is always giving meaning to everything. Of course, that's why lesson number one of the simplest lessons in the Course, is also the one that I say is really the whole Course. Nothing I see here means anything. But just in case you think that things mean something, just remember, go on to lesson two. I'm the one that's given all the meaning to it. So while you can just accept that there is nothing to fear, and if there's nothing to fear, then you are already living in God's plan for salvation because there is nothing to fear. This world was over a long time ago. Why can't I accept that? Why can't I just say, yeah, I can live, you know, like those people who love to take a walk in nature and they just see how natural everything is, that nature doesn't have to do anything to be exactly the way it is. And we hear in the Course, let all things be exactly as it is, lesson 268. It's that beingness that already has everything. It's the complex mind that thinks I have to do something in order to protect myself, in order to get something, in order to survive. That is that stinking thinking that says, no, it can't be that simple. It can't be that simple. No, it can't be that simple. So, trusting simplicity is really an art. For me, it's come from the willingness to see that everything has really been given to me, that I do live in the sea of synchronicity, and every thought, every word is really given. Those people who, and I want to thank Regina for her encouragement for all to come to the mic and select the book or whatever it is that you want to use to begin to develop that inner strength of recognizing that it's all given to you. You really don't have to know anything. There's no knowing in a dream. There's just awakening from the dream. But it does take trust to wake up. It does take trust. In Christmas as the end of sacrifice, chapter 11, section 10, he says, "You who believe that sacrifice is love must learn that sacrifice is separation from love." Now, the word sacrifice, which he uses a lot in the Course, it was the one word that after many years of doing this Course, I was really not clear on what sacrifice meant. So when I had that opportunity to go and visit Ken Wapnick in Temecula, a number of us went down together. Regina was there, and Lynn Johnson was there. A lot of people went down. Gary Renard joined us on that particular weekend. It was January of 2009. I happened to have some private time with Ken in his library on Sunday morning. I said, "I do have one question, Ken. What's your take on the word sacrifice?" He says, "Making one thing more important than another. Making one thing more important than another." So you can translate that into other words like seeing differences, you know, inequality, haves and have-nots. Sacrifice is to make one thing or one person more important than another. So let's go back to what it says here, Christmas as the end of sacrifice. And oh yeah, I want to include one other thing. In lesson 187, paragraph 6, one of my all-time favorite paragraphs, he says, "Those who understand what true giving means must laugh at all of the forms of pain and suffering in this world. For the one idea behind them all, the one idea behind all of the pain and suffering in this world is sacrifice." And then he says, "And in your gentle laughter, it is healed." In your gentle laughter, it is healed. So even though the ego thought system would look out onto the world and say, "Well, how could you laugh at what's going on in the world? How could you laugh?" He brings us back to the truth. It's not going on in the world. It's going on in my mind, in the thoughts that I have of inequality, unworthiness, thinking that some have more and some have less. Beware of the temptation to perceive yourself unfairly treated. Projecting that out onto the world will show you the malaise of starvation, scarcity, deprivation, yes, and even death itself. So here he says in chapter 15, section 11, Christmas as the end of sacrifice. I usually like to say Christ as the end of sacrifice. He says, "This is the time in which a new year will soon be born from the time of Christ. I have perfect faith in you to do all that you would accomplish. Nothing will be lacking, and you will make complete and not destroy. Say then to your brother, I give you to the Holy Spirit as part of myself. I know that you will be released unless I want to use you to imprison myself. In the name of my freedom, I choose your release because I recognize that we will be released together. So the giving and the receiving are the same. What it is that I want to be released from this thought system of sacrifice, of inequality, of unworthiness, of being different, being left out, being alone, I have to be willing to give that thought that I see my brother in to the Holy Spirit. So will the year begin in joy and freedom? There is much to do as we have been long delayed. Accept this holy instant as this year is born and take your place so long left unfulfilled in the great awakening, in the great awakening. Make this year different by making it all the same. And let all your relationships be made holy for you. This is our will. Amen. And speaking about the word same, I was listening to Regina. I don't know if it was on Wednesday or maybe, I guess it was on Wednesday. And she was talking about sameness, sameness. Yeah, sameness and equality, that is the one condition necessary for peace. And peace is the one condition necessary to know yourself. Peace is the key to the kingdom, but it does have that one condition, and that is sameness, equality. If you see yourself as different, you have already listened to the voice of sacrifice. On that very first page of Christmas as the End of Sacrifice, I was led to look at this morning, and I want to read it to you. It's in paragraph 4. It says, "You who believe that sacrifice is love," you know, whenever we make somebody special, and we would say, well, I love you, I don't really know if I love anybody else. "You who believe that sacrifice is love must learn that sacrifice is separation from love. For sacrifice brings guilt as surely as love brings peace. Guilt is the condition of sacrifice as peace is the condition for the awareness of your relationship with God." Or in other words, your relationship with your true self. You can't know yourself in conflict because it's the mind that's in conflict. You see something out there that is not there. It's projecting. Projection makes perception. Now, most of you know that in order to finally fulfill the purpose that you are here for, you must be willing to let go of all the things that have kept you from achieving and remembering your purpose. We all share the same purpose, is to wake up from this dream of forgetfulness and to remember that everyone here shares that same purpose. There's no one here in this world that doesn't share that purpose of waking up from this deep sleep, this forgetful sleep, and to remember the truth of our oneness, of our sameness, of our equality, not of our differences. So my willingness to see all as the same is my willingness to invite peace back into my mind. The mind that sees differences is the one that I have to give up. In my own life, I recognize that certain things, including even coming here this morning, had to be let go of, even though they have that tug. One of the tugs for me, the thing that tugs you back into complexity, is, well, I want to prove how good I am. Yeah. And of course the question is, hey, Dove, who are you going to prove how good you are to? Is there someone out there that basically you think you need to impress, really? So those kind of questions come up, and as you begin to look at them and contemplate them, you begin to gently laugh, exactly as he says, you know, in your gentle laughter, you are healed. You give up those thought systems like I have to do something in order to look good. I have to prove myself. Prove yourself to whom? You think there's someone out there that you need to impress? Yeah, that's one of the things that I work on. That's one of the things in trusting simplicity that, well, that's like one of the things I have to work on. It may not be the same for you. You probably have your own things, but each person has to ask the same question. Why can't I accept the simplicity of salvation? That only the truth is true. And nothing else is true. And in the end, you say, how could something that simple be all that I need? The ego is certainly not going to accept that. The ego says, well, what does that mean, only the truth is? What do you mean by the truth? What do you mean by this? What do you mean by that? As soon as you get caught up in that, you're right back into the complexity of the mind. No, only the truth is true and nothing else is true. Very simple. That which is real cannot be threatened. That which is unreal doesn't exist. Herein lies the peace of God. There is nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear. And the only thing that keeps me from that is trust. Trusting the simplicity of salvation, and only salvation can be said to cure. It's that simple. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Jay, for inviting me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for arranging all of this. I'm so happy, always honored, and it's a privilege to be here. Joining with you in this peace of God here at Awakening Together, always, always, always. Oh, there's Jay. Hi, Jay. Thank you so much. I think it was so perfect that you're calling me on Friday night. Really beautiful. Thank you so much, Reverend Helen Avery, for being my reader. I'm going to be turning this mic over to you, Lynn, and we have some time later for anyone who has any thoughts, questions, or anything, and followed by a half-hour fellowship after that. So, Lynn, the mic is all yours. Thank you so much.
It's a gift to be simple. It's a gift to be free. A gift to come down where you want to.
Thank you so much, Lynn, for that music. And I forgot to say that was an opportunity to make a donation to Awakening Together, especially if you found anything that you heard here, something that is helpful to you in your own letting go and just listening to the voice for spirit, the voice for love, the voice for God within you, asking where to go, what to do, and what to say and to whom. So if you are listening on the radio, Barb did put up that link. Go to awakening-together.org, and on the menu bar you'll see the word donate, and this is always an opportunity to do that. Okay, we have about 10-12 minutes at least. To anyone have any thoughts, any questions, anything at all that came up for you? And this is a wonderful time to share it. Simplicity is something that you cannot wrap your head around. There's nothing to remember. There's nothing to learn. Of course, the ego mind always says, well, there must be more. You know, it can't be that simple. I'm reminded of the simplicity of the story of David and Goliath, where David, this young boy who was really a shepherd boy, who played the harp for King Saul, he knew nothing of the ways of war. He knew nothing about defenses and metal armor and things, shields and spears, and he just used his trusty bow and his trusty slingshot, picked up a nice smooth stone, and that's the story of David and Goliath. But there's one thing that it doesn't tell you there in that story, and that is that he was strengthened by his faith. He was strengthened by his willingness to trust. That's what strengthened him. I was reading something by the Zen master Shunryu Suzuki, who says, actually, there are no enlightened persons. He says there's actually enlightened activity. And I take it to mean that when you're living in your simplicity, you are enlightened. And when you go back to planning and strategizing and your defenses, you're going back to complexity. So the enlightenment that we see is really the simplicity. It's really the letting go of thinking that I am the doer. When, as a matter of fact, it's being done through me. I'm being strengthened. God is the strength in which I trust. There is nothing to fear. As Jay McCormick says, there is no person in enlightenment. Yeah. Okay. Rev Gloria, this mic is all yours. Thank you so much.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Do I have the mic this morning? All right. Good morning. And thank you, Dev. Thank you for that lovely teaching this morning. Thank you, Helen, for reading. It was good to hear your voice. As we were doing contemplation, a thought came up about what Dove was speaking about today. I thought about time. Of course, that's a relative truth, but as you guys know, the time changed today. So when I got up and looked at my watch, it was one time. But if I looked at an electronic clock, it was another time. So I could technically walk around all day with the watch on in some other time zone. Or I could, you know, change the watch to reflect the actual time it is. I think the point of that thought came into my head as I was contemplating this morning, and it's what Dove was teaching about today. The truth is always true. Again, time is a relative point of view or truth, but it's an example of how we could easily look at the false, the illusion, the watch on our wrist, and go by that, or we could, again, make that correction and come up to the correct time. So that's the interesting thought that came up for me while I was contemplating this teaching today. And just also thought about what I talked about last week about paradoxes and things being complicated. Sorry for the lawnmower in the background. My husband is out. We're starting our spring cleaning. So the yard is being taken care of today. So if you guys can hear that in the background. But I also thought about talking about how the mind complicates things through those paradoxes. But at the end of the day, it really is, it boils down to simplicity. The simpleness is, and the simple fact is that the truth is always true. So just wanted to chime in here, say thank you to Dove and to all of you. Love to you all, and that's all I wanted to share.
All right, thank you so much, Rev Gloria. And I did remember your teaching last Sunday on paradox, yeah. The thinking mind is always looking at paradoxes, as it's always keeping its options open. As you were speaking, I was thinking about an experience I had, which I had shared here earlier in earlier years. I was in the hospital after some chemotherapy because my immune system was completely shot in the doctor said, you have to stay here until we get your immune system back to where it should be, or you can pick up anything at all because your immune system doesn't even exist right now. So every day, my immune system get a little bit better. About the third or fourth day after the doctor said, don't worry, you're definitely getting better. You'll be out of here soon. I said to Holy Spirit, you know something? I know I'm getting better, but, you know, as the Course in Miracles says, ask of all things in this world, what is it for? Because you do not know what anything here is for, because this is a world of complexity. Your true mind is simplicity. Your true mind is the mind of God. Complexity is of the ego. Simplicity is of God. So I did ask, I said, you know, I know I'm getting better, but what is all this for? And I got such a clear answer, so clear as I'm speaking right now. Almost in an instant, I heard, you are perfectly cared for. You are perfectly cared for. Actually, I only said it once. I just said it twice, but you are perfectly cared for. So can I trust that I'm perfectly cared for? Can I trust that? You know, the ego doesn't trust anything. Oh, yeah, I said, well, you know, I can trust most things, but, you know, I got to look out for number one. So it's that willingness to recognize that you're not really doing anything. Who you think you are, as Jay McCormick points out, there is no person there. Who you think you are is not what you are. You are perfectly cared for. You are. My willingness to accept that is in the acceptance. Another word for acceptance is the trusting that this is true, that we are all perfectly cared for always by a beneficent creator in the grace of God. By grace I live, by grace I am released. Yeah, it's all done in the grace of God. Okay, we have another 5 minutes. Anyone want to share anything at all? Anything anyone want to speak on? Any questions, any thoughts? Regina Dawn Akers, this mic is all yours.
Thank you very much, Dub. I want to say thank you for saying yes on such short notice. Jay has been our minister on the second Sunday of the month for, you know, at least a couple of years. I think probably for 2 years, actually. I think it probably started 2 years ago. And so I want to say thank you very much to Jay for being our minister on the second Sunday of each month for about 2 years. But I also want to say that Jay has decided to resign this spot, and that's because he is doing so many things for Awakening Together, and of course he has another full-time job too, and it's just becoming too much for his time. And so when he looked at everything that he's doing, he felt the one that he could resign for now was being the minister on the second Sunday of each month. Kind of simultaneously, Reverend Gloria Wells has had an idea be born in her, and it's an idea to mentor Awakening Together ministers leading weekly gatherings. And she wanted to start this program that she called the Mystery Minister. And so since Jay is resigning from leading the second Sunday of each month, and Gloria has this idea born in her, what our vision really is to have a different minister on the second Sunday of each month. And Gloria will be the mentor of these ministers to help them with whatever they need help with in order to choose a reading, find a reader, choose a talk. I always provide the announcements. So I just kind of wanted to say that out loud now, and I'm hoping that all of the Awakening Together ministers are listening, and I'm hoping that some of you are feeling, yes, you know, I would love to, you know, maybe lead one gathering a year. You know, even if we had 12 of the new ministers saying, yes, I'd love to lead one gathering a year, that would take care of us for the year. We actually have, I think, close to 30 ministers now, so there's plenty of ministers to go around, but I know not 100% of them are going to want to step up and lead a gathering, but even if half of them did, or a little less than half, that would be perfect. So I will be sharing information with all of the ministers about this, but for those of you who are in hearing shot now, I ask you to contemplate your willingness to lead a gathering every now and then on this second Sunday. And you know, I understand while we were in India, it was a lot of fun having three new ministers for the month. And maybe we can keep that going with a different minister on the second Sunday of each month. So, okay, and we hear Dolores has already volunteered. Is that true? Good, good, good. So maybe Dolores will get in touch with you soon. Maybe you'll be our April minister. But Gloria will be the leader of this program. I will be her assistant, and we'll get more details out to everyone soon. But again, Dove, thank you very, very, very much from the bottom of my heart for saying yes on short notice today. We always love having you here, Dove. Thank you.
I just want to say thank you, Regina, for the opportunity you offer to so many people. And I think the idea is so brilliant to allow people to begin to train their mind to trust that they are given everything. That's my experience. But you don't have that experience until you actually practice it, meaning you say, okay, I'm willing, and it's out of your willingness, it's all given to you. That was part of our reading here. The moment that you are willing, it's all given to you. That's why willingness is so important in this entire community. I don't care in what path you're on. Your willingness is saying that my will and God's will is the same will. Thy will be done, for sure. Okay, it's that time. I'm going to turn this mic on over to you. I guess, Rev. Ken and Rebecca, for our fellowship hour. Thank you all, and thank you so much, Jay, for asking. And it has really been an honor and a privilege. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I have received so much from this. Thank you.
If I could tell the world just one thing, it would be that we're all okay. And not to worry, cause worry is wasteful and useless in times like these. I won't be made useless, won't be idle with despair. I'll gather myself around my faith, the light the darkness most fears. My hands are small, I know, but they're not yours, they are my own. They're not yours, they are my own, and I am never broken. Poverty stole your golden shoes, it didn't steal your laughter. Visited me, but I knew it wasn't ever after. We'll fight, not out of spite, 'cause someone must stand up for what's right.